better in their life. And some Christians, they get saved and it's just like, eh. You know, nothing happens. You know, they still struggle with the same things. They still, you know, their life really didn't change at all. See, in the series that we're doing, Undivided, we want to take a holistic view at the redemption of God. We want to look at it from a perspective to where we're just not praying a prayer and saying, hey, I get to go to heaven. Because that's not a holistic view of God's redemption. That's not why Jesus died on the cross, so that you can say you're going to heaven and nothing ever change. That's not the gospel. That is not what God wants for your life. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians live that life to where they say a prayer. You know, they have a relationship with God. They're going to heaven, but nothing ever changes. They still struggle through life. They're still caught in their addictions. They're still caught with the same bad attitudes, and nothing ever changes. And their life doesn't bring glory to God at all. See, I would hate to end my life, at the end of my life, thinking that my life didn't affect anybody else's for the good. For the glory of God. I would hate to think that I went through my whole entire Christian life and nobody ever looked to Christ because of the way I lived. And I would hope to say that that's every Christian has that deep down on the inside of them, that they want to make a difference in this world for Jesus. I'm hoping that that's all of our goal and all of our hopes, that we can do that. But unfortunately, we don't see that a lot. And during this series, I want to walk us through why this happens in a lot of Christians' lives. And it's not an easy answer. It's not a quick fix answer. But it's something that as we look into God's Word, that we're going to see something, an amazing journey that we can go on that will transform your life and it'll transform the people around you. But as we know, anything worth doing is not going to be easy, right? And so this is going to be the most worthwhile journey that you'll ever take. See, Psalms 86:10, this is going to be our key passage for this series. It says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." During this series, we're going to look what it means to have an undivided heart. A heart fully devoted to Christ and a life fully devoted to Him. See, Christ didn't simply die to change your Sunday and your eternal destination. That's not why Christ went through all that He went through, just so that you'll go to church and get to go to heaven one day. But see, He died to change your every day. And He died to change your every way. See, God wants all of you. He doesn't want your Sunday morning. He'd rather you not give Him your Sunday morning and give somebody else the rest of your week. See, He wants every single part of your life. And you want to know why so many Christians struggle? Because we give God Sunday morning. We give Him a hallelujah, glory to God in church. And then we go live life the way we want to. And that's why so many Christians struggle all of their life, because their heart is not undivided. They have divided their hearts, saying, God, you can have this part, but you can't have this. And you can't have this. And you can't have this. And they struggle in all of these areas of their life because they're divided. See, when we get saved, it should affect every area of our lives. It should affect our habits. It should affect our attitudes. It should affect our behaviors. It should affect our work ethic, what we do at work. It should affect the way we treat our family. It should reflect the way you vote at the polls, your political views. Just got real on that one. All right, let's move on. But seriously, I mean, when we give our lives to God, it should affect every area of our life, every facet of our life. See, what I want to do through this series is I want us to look at life through the lens of the Bible, through the lens of God's Word. See, what we do in life so many times is we look at God's Word through the lens of our culture. We live in this culture and we see everything by where we are at. It's called perspective. And we want to look at God's Word from the perspective of our culture, when in turn we should be looking at our culture through the perspective of God's Word. See, we base our beliefs based on what we live in, our culture that we live in, and we say, and then we read God's Word and says, well, it says this, but you know, that really doesn't fit into what my culture says and what I believe, and so I'm not going to believe that. And see, we can't do that. See, we've got to put God's Word first. That's what we mean by when we say when we put God's Word first, that means we view life through the lens of God's Word. That God's Word is actually filtering what life should look like, not the other way around. And so we're going to put God's Word, and we're going to look through it through this series. And we're going to see what it says about life, not what life says about God's Word. Okay? And so we're going to use lots of scripture. You know, we love scripture. You know, it's the foundation of our life. And so, you know, we're going to look through life, different areas of life, and we're going to see what the Bible says about that. And I want to base my life on that, not on what popular culture tells me or what the next political candidate says that we should do. And so let's dive into this. See, we need to live the undivided life. How does this happen? How can so many people, how can some change so drastically and some change not at all? See, in 1 Thessalonians, I think this is an important scripture that we must understand in order to live out the Christian life right. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." See, I think we need to understand this concept, is that when we get saved, it's not just one thing that happens. See, we're actually made up of three different parts. We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Now, a lot of y'all already know this. Some of this might be new to you. But I just want to kind of explain real quick what this is talking about. Spirit, soul, and body. See, when we get saved, our spirit becomes alive to Christ. Our spirit is dead until Christ comes into our life. And our spirit man comes alive. And that's the part of us that communicates with God. That's the part of us that connects with God. That's the core of who we are in our life, is our spirit. See, our spirit will go to heaven one day. This body's not going to heaven. See, this body is going to die one day. Yeah, God's going to raise it back up, and it's going to be incorruptible. But this body that you see, it doesn't get to go to heaven. But it's who we are on the inside that gets to go to heaven. And so our spirit man is what connects with God. It's that connection with God that we have. And it's kind of that intangible thing that we really can't explain. You know, it's just like, I just have this connection with God, you know, and it's God living on the inside of me. And that's the spirit man right there. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." See, this is talking about the spirit man. When you get saved, the spirit man immediately changes. It comes alive. And that's the change that you feel on the inside of you. That's the part that the joy and the excitement of salvation, that's the spirit man right there. And that changes immediately. But you know what? When I got saved, I still looked the same. I still had, yeah. Now, that didn't change at all for me. You know, that'd have been great if I got saved and, you know, I got the 6-pack abs and the muscles, and you know, it didn't happen. And so the body didn't change. We know that. But there's also this other part of us that is the soul. the soul. And lots of times we hear this phrase, you know, God, you know, Jesus saved my soul. You know, that's a little bit off, just a little bit. When Christ comes into our life, he changes our spirit man. Our spirit man comes alive. Our soul is our decisions. It's our decision making. It's our thought processes. It's our feelings. It's our mental state of being. You know, that's our soul. Our soul is the part of us that feels, and it's the difficult part of us. You know what I'm saying? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that doesn't change at salvation either. And so the reason why so many Christians struggle is because they think they can pray a prayer, then everything is good to go. When in fact, there's still parts of us that God needs to change. And a lot of people aren't willing to do what it takes to change those things. To allow God to come in your heart and work. Because it's not really a fun process. It's really not a fun process. But it's one that's worthwhile, that will change your life. It'll change your heart. And it'll just make you... Man, it'll change everything for you. See, Romans 12 kind of alludes to this in that it's our body and our soul that still needs work in our lives. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice." See, now, if that changed at salvation, would we have to offer it as a willing sacrifice to God? No, it's something that we have to do daily, that we have to sacrifice our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when your mind, when you got saved, you still thought the same thoughts, didn't you? You still kind of had some of the same bad habits, didn't you? I know I did. That was my experience. You know, that stuff didn't really change. And that's the part that we struggle with is our soul and our natural tendencies and our urges. And those are the things that we're working on in our Christian life. See, God just doesn't want your spirit, the spirit man of you. He wants all of you. And if you want to live the undivided life, then you've got to give it all to him. You've got to give it all to him. The toughest thing to give up is your will. Right? I'm going to do what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me otherwise. You're not going to tell me what to do. See, if you go in with that attitude with God, you're not getting anywhere. So you're going to stay right where you are in life. See, when I truly gave my life over to Christ, I grew up in church. I grew up in this church, and I got saved at a young age. And, you know, I learned the Bible stories, and I went to, you know, every time the door was open, I was there. And I truly believe I was saved at a young age. But at the age of 19, I made a decision to live for Christ for myself. See, if you grow up in church, church is usually all that you know. And it's not until you kind of move out of mom and daddy's house and you get into the real world that you realize there's lots of stuff out there. You know, and at the age of 19, I decided for myself, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I am going to live for Christ and I'm going to give him my all. And that's my decision. That's not because of my upbringing. It's not because my daddy told me to do that. It's not because of anything like that. It's because I chose to do it. And see, we all have to come to that point to where we say, I choose because I know it's right for me. And if you haven't made that decision because it's right for you, then you need to talk to God. You need to make those decisions. See, a lot of parents get scared when they're teenagers begin to question their beliefs about God. A lot of them get frantic. They're questioning that. Well, they're asking a lot of questions. And I say, good. That's a good thing that they're asking questions. That means they're using their brain. That means they're making decisions for themselves and not just because you told them that. See, it's good when the questions start coming because they're processing their faith themselves. And see, during that time, you need to be praying hard for your teenagers, that the Holy Spirit's speaking to them. Because if they grew up in church and you've done what you're supposed to do, God's word is in their heart. And there's something about God's word that it doesn't leave you alone. It's always there. See, God's word is planted in your heart and you can't get rid of it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you tried to run away from God, but there's something inside of you that kept saying, nope. Said, you know, this is the truth. That was God's word, and that was the Holy Spirit working in your heart to bring you back. And see, when your teenagers begin to question, begin to pray, Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. God, reveal yourself to them so that they know that you are real. It's okay that they're questioning. But I came to that point in my life where I began to question the things. I began to look at it, and I sold out totally to God at the age of 19. It was after my freshman year of college, and we were actually still in the old church at that point. I think we were, weren't we? I think 99. That was right before we moved over here. And so I remember, I could tell you where I was sitting and everything, and I just, it wasn't anything. I didn't respond to an altar call. I was in the service, and God just began to speak to me. And I just, right where I was, I hit my knees and said, God, I give it all to you. I'm yours. Do whatever you want. The next year, he said, I want you to go into ministry. And I was like, are you kidding me? No, I don't want to. And so, but anyway, at that time, I got a hunger for God's word. God really began to stir my heart. And I just dove into God's word and began to read. And all of those scriptures that I memorized as a child, I began to read them in context of God's word. And God just began to reveal himself to me and who I was in him. And it was just an amazing experience. But a lot of the scriptures that stood out to me in that moment weren't the fun scriptures. It wasn't the, yes, you know, I'm a child of God. It was those scriptures that said stuff like, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it started to list things. And it says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it scared me because I saw myself in the list. And I just want to read one to you. There's a bunch of them in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? I mean, that scared me. Because, like, God, I don't want to do wrong. I want to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a good thing that I had in my life because I wanted to please God and I wanted to do what's right. But these are the tough scriptures that we want to skip over when we read them. We want to skim it. Ooh, okay. Oh, here's a good one that tells me I'm righteous. You know, says, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that. But you are now cleansed. You are made holy. And you are made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And those are the ones that the Holy Spirit would illuminate to me because that's where I was. See, this is the not so fun part of following Jesus, is that he wants to fix you. See, we say this all the time here. So God loves you where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. And see, this is the process that we've got to go to. If you want to live the undivided life, then you have to go through the process. You have to go through the process of God pruning you and burning stuff out of you. And it's such a fun process, but we've got to go through it. See, the things that he's talking about here are habits and behaviors. I believe that's one of the first things that God deals with people who are recently saved, as he begins to talk to us through the Holy Spirit about our habits, about our behaviors, and about our attitudes. And so today, with the few minutes I have left, I want to talk to you about the process of giving God completely your habits, your behaviors, and your attitudes. See, we can go on in 1 Corinthians 6. It says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. For sexual immorality is sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. This is very important. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. See, this is the correct view that we need to have of ourselves, is I don't even belong to myself. I don't own myself. I don't have the right to say, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what you think, God. Because he bought you with a high price. When you said, I give my life to you, God, the blood of Jesus paid the price for your sin. So God cleansed you at that moment. And at that moment, you gave yourself as a slave over to God. Say, God, do what you want in my life. But the person who lives the divided life, you say, God, take away my sin. You can have that. You can have this. But God, I want to keep this part of my life, and I want to keep this, and I want to keep this. You can't have it. And when you do that, your faith stalls, and you become stagnant, and you can no longer grow until you're willing to give those back to God. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're diving into, is that we need to give our soul. We need to give our body to God. We've already gave our spirit to him. Now let's give him our soul and our body, saying, you take control of those as well. And so, you know, the big one that God laid on my heart to talk about was our attitudes. See, our attitudes determine so much about us in our life. Winston Churchill said this. He said, your attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. And if you notice in life, you know, there's always two ways to look at things. You know, lots of times we say it's the optimist and the pessimist or whatever. But truly, our perspective in life can change a whole lot of the way we live our life. And see, when we look at life through the lens of God's word, our perspective should change. Our attitudes should change. Because in God's word, we find lots of great nuggets and lots of great truths that should change our hearts and our attitudes. The first one I want to talk about tonight, or today, whatever it is, I don't know. A lot of Christians struggle with is the victim mentality. I see so many Christians living with a victim mentality. You know, that you know, everybody's against me. You know, why does this always happen to me? And we like to relive the past and all the times that people have done us wrong. And we see ourselves as a victim in life. See, Jesus didn't die for you to be a victim, to have the victim mentality. He died so that you can have an overcoming reality. See, if you're all the time thinking of how bad life is, of all this bad stuff that's gone on in my life, you will never be an overcomer. You will never have that overcoming reality in your life. You'll always be defeated. Always. But see, we serve a God that is an overcomer. See, Jesus Christ overcame death and the grave. He defeated our sin for us. And as we give our lives to him, he gives us victory over that as well. That's great news. See, he's given us victory. See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the dark age. And he's talking about Satan. And we serve the God, Jesus Christ, who defeated Satan at the cross. See, Satan has no power. He literally has no power because Jesus took it away from him. And so we're fighting an enemy that has no power. Now, if you could imagine this, let's say we go to war against whatever country, and we come in with our tanks and our jets and, you know, our M16s and all that stuff, and we go in and there's someone there holding a slingshot. That's what the reality of what we're living right now is, that our enemy has a slingshot and we got a tank. Who's going to win that war? See, God is an overcomer. He's given us the victory through Christ Jesus at the cross. So we're fighting a battle that we've already won. Why do we struggle in life with things when we already have the victory? See, we can't have the victim mentality. If we have the victim mentality, it's like, man, I'm always going to have this habit. I just can't kick it. I'll just always struggle with this. Then you're always going to struggle with that. Or you can turn to God and say, God, I need your grace. I need your strength. Help me. And you're going to fight a winning battle. See, the Bible says that greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. 1 John 4. It says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus in Romans 8. See, he's already overcome. Greater is he who is in me than anything that I'll ever face. And so I'm an overcomer. See, why do we live with this victim mentality? Why do we live with this mentality of that, you know, life's just beating me down and I'm never going to make it. I'm always going to struggle. Get into God's word. Find out what he says about how you are an overcomer through him. It's not for our glory. It's not boasting me. It's boasting him. Because all the power and strength comes from him. It says in Isaiah, it says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Let me tell you something. I pray this one over my kids. No weapon formed against my kids will ever prosper. Because I know what Christ did. And I'm standing firm on his word that his angels are protecting. Anything that comes against our family will not prosper because of Christ and the cross. See, we got to trade our victim mentality for an overcoming reality. And we can only do that through God's word and through the cross. Another attitude that we face in life is unforgiveness and hate. See, if you read the Bible at all, you know that we're not supposed to hate. God is love. 1 John, I mean, it's, you know, we have this mentality, you know, someone's done me wrong. Man, they said that about me. They did this thing to me. And I can never forgive them for that. I hate them for that. See, if we have that mentality in our life, then our hearts are not with Christ. I'm not saying that you're not saved, but I'm saying your heart's not with Christ if you hate somebody. Read 1 John 4. Read all of 1 John and you'll see that over and over and over. But see, we've got to realize that we've done people wrong as well. We've done God wrong for a long time. See, we don't deserve forgiveness as well. But see, forgiveness is not something that should be earned. Love is not something that should have to be earned, but it's something that should be freely given because it was freely given to us through the cross. See, we didn't have to earn our salvation. We didn't have to earn our forgiveness. Because of the love of God, we're forgiven. Because of the love of God, that we are loved. See, Romans 5:8 says, but God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. See, he didn't wait for you to come and apologize to him before Jesus went to the cross. He forgave you 2,000 years ago before you were even born, before you even committed your first sin. He loved you that much. If God loves us that much and can forgive us like that, we should be able to do that for the people in our lives. See, if we live in unforgiveness and hate, then you'll be stagnant. You'll never grow. You'll never move past that point. And I've seen so many Christians that live in that and they go downhill from there. The last one that I want to talk about is the attitude that is offense. Being offended. I heard this quote once. I'm not sure where I heard it, but it was a great quote. It says, if you cannot be offended, you cannot be defeated. And that's something that I've tried to live my life by. Is I've had lots of opportunities to be offended by people. People say stupid stuff. Just get on Facebook. You'll see it everywhere. People have an opinion and they want you to know it. Well, you know what? God's opinion of me is more important than your opinion of me. And that's what I'm going to live by. You might not like me. Okay. That's your loss, not mine. So, you know, I mean, I can't help what people think about me. I can't help what people say about me. But I can help my attitude towards that. See, if I allow someone to offend me, then I allow that person to control me. They control my feelings. They control my thoughts. They control my actions. See, if I can't be offended, then I can't be defeated. See, offense is one of the biggest lies of Satan. See, his job is to come and steal, kill, and destroy your life. His job is to come stop you from being effective for the gospel. And so many Christians are stopped by the lie of offense. You know, we live in a day and age now to where it seems like just everybody's just so easily offended by the smallest things. You know, you hear something on the news and everybody's just all up in arms like, how could someone say that? How can someone do that? That person needs to be fired. That person needs to be sued. That person needs to go to jail for what they've said. And you're just like, what does it matter to you? In the light of eternity, what does it matter what this person's opinion is? It doesn't. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it might hurt my feelings, but you know what? I'm going to get over it. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to move on because that's what Christ did for me. See, that's what we've got to learn to do for people, is that we need to realize that not everybody's against us. Not everybody's out to get us. Not everybody wants to take us down. Just a couple last scriptures and we'll be closing. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. And it's his glory to overlook an offense. How hard is it to overlook an offense? I mean, that person attacked me. That person said something ugly about my kids. Man, we've got to move past that stuff. See, that's just an attack of the enemy trying to distract us from sharing the love of Jesus with the people around us. See, could you imagine, especially in this day of age, that when someone comes and says something really ugly to you and it doesn't affect you at all, in fact, you just say, I forgive you for that, and you move on. How does that look for the people around you that aren't Christians, that don't go to church, that don't know the love of God? They're thinking, why are you not mad at them? Why are you not punching them in the face right now? Hey, that's their opinion. God's forgiven me of a lot worse than that. So I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to move on. It's not going to affect me. See, we've got to overcome this attitude of offense. And I love this, Romans 12. I'm reading through the book of Romans right now, so we might get a lot of Romans during this series. I don't know. But it says, don't repay another one evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Boy, that's so countercultural right now, isn't it? If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this needs to be our attitude in life. That I'm not going to let evil overcome me, but because of the love and the good that God has placed in my heart, I am going to overcome evil. And see, if we live life like this, people will take notice. People will start asking questions. And God has opened the door for you to share the gospel. See, if we're offended, how can we share the gospel? How can we share a gospel of love and unforgiveness if we're hating somebody? If we can't forgive somebody? We can't. And Satan has done his job and he's put you ineffective. See, if we're going to live the undivided life, if we're going to give every part of our lives to God, number one, it's not going to be easy. This is not the easy part of life. This is not the easy part of Christianity. But see, we don't need to just allow our spirit to be changed. We need to allow God to change our soul. We need to allow Him to change our emotions, our thoughts, our will. We need to bring our bodies in alignment with God's Word and say, my body is not going to control me. My urges are not going to control me, but I'm going to allow God's Word to control my life. See, this is the undivided life that we're going to be talking about. In the next several weeks, we're going to get very specific on different areas of our lives that we need to give completely over to God. And these aren't the easy parts. And so I want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit speaks. Like I said, it's not me talking. This is God talking to you. I'm not saying I'm God. It's the Holy Spirit talking through me. I mean, I would not say this stuff to you, okay? I'm not that confrontational. And so I just want you to be open to God during this series and let Him do a work in you, because I don't want you to be stagnant. I don't want you to be stale. God doesn't want you to be stale. God wants you growing and alive and active in your faith, because He wants to use you, because there's people that you work with that are going to die and go to hell. And He wants to use you to share His love with them. Father, thank you. God, thank you so much that, God, you've given us your grace. God, that you've given us forgiveness and love. God, even while we hated you, we were against you. We did everything in our power to make you look bad. God, you loved us and forgave us. God, help us to change our attitudes. God, help us to get out of this victim mentality of these offenses that we hold, these grudges that we hold against people. God, bring freedom to our lives. Prayer team, if you'd come up. I feel like that there's someone here today that is holding a grudge, that's got a hold of their hearts so tightly that you can just barely even breathe. It just consumes your thoughts. It consumes every part of you. God wants to bring you out of that today. I don't want you to miss this opportunity, because God brings life. He brings freedom. And you need freedom in your life today. You need freedom from that prison that you've placed yourself in because you won't forgive. If that's you, these people are here ready to pray. If you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you've never experienced that love and that grace, please come, talk, pray today. Let's all stand today and prepare our hearts for worship again. And as we worship, if you need prayer, come ahead.